Hey everyone, welcome to the Shared Experience Podcast. Today we have Austin Gothard.
Austin's from the Iota New Chapter at Mississippi State, and he is a Guff 2022 cyclist, came back to PM the trans route of JOH in 2023, and is currently on the roster to be a Guff 2024 cyclist. So Austin, welcome.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Austin, I see that you're also signed up to do a leadership consultant gig for 2024, the new coming year. What started your interest in doing all of this philanthropic work with us?
So I think a lot of it started when I was in high school. I did a lot of peer helping and stuff at my school. And I'd always grown up with friends that had special needs, like especially in elementary school. You know, growing up, I had a friend that had autism. And at that point in time, you don't really ever know it. That they have autism. So kind of growing up, it just kept going and I didn't think anything different. And then when I got to college, I knew, I knew that I wanted to work with people with disabilities in some fashion. And then that ended up me leading into going to PICAP. And they opened me up with a ton of new opportunities such as camp in here at Florida. And that was what was really the kicker for me going into even more like work with people with disabilities was through PICAP. I initially wasn't going to rush or go into any fraternity or anything, but seeing PICAP and their philanthropy and everything just, you know, kind of furthered that and cemented it into like, hey, this is what I want to do. PICAP just really opened a ton of opportunities for me.
Did you go to camp before joining PICAP or did you do it in adjacency to starting with PICAP? And what camp was it?
It was Camp ASCA. So okay. Right after I joined or I finished pledgeship and I joined at Mississippi State, one of the guys who was the philanthropy chair at the time, his name was Justin Hammers. He told me, hey, you know, I know you said you wanted to go into this kind of thing. So we've got a position. He worked at Camp ASCA before. And he said, hey, I think you would love this. You should really do it. So I got initiated at the end of beginning of April, and then I started working with Camp ASCA at the beginning of middle May, and so just kind of jumped right into it, and yeah, didn't ever look back.
Did you know Kale by chance?
Kale,
he's Southern Mississippi, isn't he? No, he's a
Southern Mississippi.
I did not know Kale.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering if he influenced your decision to want to do Guff.
He did not. Yeah. I just kind of.
Well, let's talk about. But how did you get involved? I mean, how did you get interested to do that? Did you know anybody from your chapter that had done it, or anybody that you met through PICAP?
No, not really. I see all the work. Whenever I worked at Camp ASCA, I was, you know, I saw all the work that was done by PICAPs there. I mean, I think whenever I went, somebody told me that pretty much everything built out of wood there at the camp is made by PICAPs. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So I finished that up. And whenever I was done with camp, I was kind of like, man, like now I'm starting to get involved on campus. And, you know, as I was saying earlier, I mean, nobody from my chapter really does summer events. So I was, you know, I didn't really have a support system for my chapter. Nobody really knew what was going on. So I just kind of jumped right into it. I said, you know, hopefully I can start this legacy of guys continuing to do it and kind of picking up after me. So Guff was honestly, the first time I did it, Guff was kind of a spur of the moment decision. And I was like, you know what, let's just go ahead. Let's get this done. Let's do it. Nobody really influenced me. I didn't really know too much. Just kind of jumped right into it and it's paid off.
Did you have a road bike going into it?
I didn't even have a bike at the time.
Oh, okay.
I was not the biggest cyclist at all. My version of riding a bike was when I was like 12, and I'd go up and ride my bike to the cul-de-sac, play some basketball, and then ride my bike back home. Jumping into it was, there was a lot of stuff that I had to get and to figure out. Now I have a road bike. I know how everything works, and I'm much more prepared for the second time going into Guff this year. I'm much more prepared this time than I was the first.
You're lucky that you're when you PM for Trans America, I don't think you really had that many cyclists that were out of shape. So you didn't have to play the sympathy card saying, I know how this is and I know how to train. You didn't have to be that type of leader.
Yeah, it was very nice. Whenever I got to Seattle, I didn't know what the cyclists were going to be, because for Gear Up Florida and Journey of Hope, I mean, there's obviously a big difference between how many miles are cycled. But I mean, you know, there's always some people that don't train, and there's always some people that really train. Thankfully, I was lucky enough that I think every person on my team had a ton of miles. So it was more just kind of me going in and telling them what not to do, because I've done all that before. So I was like, hey, don't do this because it doesn't pay off well. But they all were great. I mean, they came in, and I know the first training ride that we did, I mean, it was like a 19% incline on one of the hills, and everybody was killing it. And it was nice to just, I was thankful at that time I was in the car, because we don't face anything like that on Gear Up Florida. So, but yeah, everybody was super well trained. I got such a good group of guys to walk into and lead. I was very blessed, very, very blessed.
Yeah, that was one of the better teams I've kicked off in a while too. And I think Corey even mentioned that everyone had done their training part. Yeah, phenomenal. But yeah, that was also one of the hardest kickoff rides I think I've done all the experience. That route was no joke.
Yeah.
Was that your first time on trans?
Yeah.
That might have been second time. No, yes, that was second. Yeah. Because they went through Rainier, and they didn't have it nearly as rainy as it was the year before.
Gotcha.
It was cold and wet and miserable, and we still had to ride it. And I think this Rainier, leading into it, was like clear skies and just beautiful all the way through. Oh,
it was great. I mean, the views, just going up the mountain and seeing everything there. It was, I remember you had told me that last year it was just, you know, again, as you said, gray skies, everything raining. And we got up there, and that's what I was expecting. I was like, man, I don't want it to be like this. And we got up there, and it was just blue skies. I mean, it was beautiful. It was, I mean, probably one of the top days, and that was only day two.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of highlights. And I mean, we ate so much chocolate from one of our sponsors who works at, I think it's Theo Chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not, yeah, just it, gave us a bunch of box of leftover pieces of different flavors. And I think the team just destroyed as much as they could while also giving some off to friendship visits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That was the pad outs over there in Seattle. They were the ones that supplied that chocolate.
Which do you think was harder, PMing for a team or being a cyclist for the first time on an accelerated program that Guff is?
It's hard to say, because there's a big difference between being a PM and being a cyclist. Coming into cyclist, I was definitely a lot more nervous, because I had never ridden a bike more than like what, 30 miles at that time. So I was jumping in, it's a brand new experience, and you're meeting all these guys from different chapters. And I jumped into it, and I was shaking the first day I got there, and I was like putting together my bike, and I still didn't know how to do it fully, taking it out of the box. And so I had asked, I think it was Coach Allen at the time, and you know, he's very intimidating too. So he was like, just put it together. And I was like, oh, well, okay. But yeah, it's very different. I was definitely more nervous for cyclist. But I think, you know, that panned out to be a good experience. But then coming into PM, I think it was difficult, but it was a new experience. Everything's new and great. But I don't think it's too hard to be a good leader in a sense. I think you just kind of got to step up and listen and do a lot, and that's what my team was kind of based off. Even the first day, I remember, you know, we had the fire there and we were cooking s'mores and we were all just talking and kind of doing that, you know, what do we want to get out of this trip at the beginning? And everybody was on the same page of like, look, we got to do this the best we can. And, you know, I think one of our things that we said was irrational persistency. So just keep on going no matter what. Like, it may seem dumb, may seem wrong, but you just got to keep cycling, keep doing whatever. But it was, I think PM was more difficult, more stressful over time, because you know, you have to handle the safety, You have to keep up with your crew. You got to keep the cyclists in check. And all the while you're calling what feels like 30 sponsors a day. So that was definitely more nerve-wracking and stressful. And cyclists, I think cyclist is a lot more fun though at the end of the day, because you get to be cycling and you get to experience what the road is like on the bike. And that's just completely different from sitting in a car. Whenever somebody asked me, what'd you do this summer? I said, well, I just kind of sat in the car the whole time, which is completely wrong, but yeah. Nobody really understands what Journey of Hope is all about. It's hard to explain what the whole mission and what you actually did. Because it's like, so you cycled across America. I was like, no, I was in charge of guys who cycled across America. And they're like, oh, so what did you do? I was like, okay, just sat in the car.
Yeah, that's not a quick answer.
No, it would take an hour to a couple days probably to explain everything that goes on during Journey of Hope. But yeah, PM's definitely more stressful. Cyclist is nerve-wracking at first, but it's fun at the end.
It was enough to get you interested in biking for another summer.
Yeah. It's going to be different going into doing gear at Florida again from Journey of Hope. If I could have cycled Journey of Hope, I definitely would have. But I'm glad that I took that leadership position and was able to PM it. But, you know, seeing how much fun all the guys had on the bike again, and it really made me miss it from my first year of Florida experience, because there's really nothing like spending 6 or 7 hours on the bike with somebody you first met. And then you're diving into a deep conversation that you're like, why am I telling this to a stranger right now? A stranger to me. But, you know, I'm excited to get back into it and to continue doing everything. And I'm hoping that this will be my best one yet. I know that it will, because I've come in with the attitude of just, you know, this is not going to be my final one, but it's my final one as an undergrad. And so I want to come in, I want to raise a bunch of money. My goal that I set this year was 10,000. So I'm hoping to raise a bunch of money, get a ton of miles trained, and then come in and just blow it out of the water. I'm excited.
Well, I'll definitely be waiting for you here in Tampa, so.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get smoked on the bike, that's all I got to say.
Oof. Tough words, tough words. So diving in more to your PM experience, you know, you travel so many places with the team. This answer can go many different directions as far as friendship visits or just scenery, as you mentioned. What are some of the highlights from you when you think back on your trip, whether it's a certain day or just a certain moment, things like that?
Yeah. I think in terms of, you know, sights and sounds, Mount Rainier on the second day, like unbeatable. That's just incredible. And we had such a beautiful day, as we were saying. But pretty much any of the national parks that we were able to go to, I know we got to see the Tetons. We got to go through Yellowstone on our off day. We got to go through Yellowstone, and then at the end of the trip, we wrapped it up at the Shenandoah National Park. Now, it may be an unpopular opinion, but I think the Shenandoah National Park was just one of the best days that we had. I think everybody on my team would disagree. I mean, because we got to the top of, that mountain, and it just started pouring and it was cold and it was like 2 days before the end of the trip. So everybody's like, why is this happening now? Like national park. But I mean, just seeing all the sights and sounds from that day. I mean, just the views is pretty much every day on the trip was something new and just beautiful. But I think Shenandoah was really the best place for seeing stuff. And, you know, there's wildlife, there's waterfalls, there's mountains in the distance. There's a bunch of flowers. It was beautiful. But I think in terms of just kind of activities and stuff that we were able to do, I think Olathe, Kansas was probably my favorite stop on the trip. A lot of what we did, we got to meet Mark Cameron, who sets everything up in Olathe. So we were able to stay at the Kansas School for the Deaf, which was really cool. And seeing how the school kind of adapted to people who have hearing disabilities. So, you know, signs on the wall and stuff like that. I mean, for me, I was like a kid in a candy store there, just kind of looking around and seeing everything that was adaptable and just cool. And And we got to go to a wheelchair rugby, or what do they call it? They call it death ball or something like that. We got to go to wheelchair rugby and play there, and I'm pretty sure I broke a finger while I was there, smashed it in a chair. But, yeah, that was just incredible to see everything that was adaptive and just interactive. I mean, Olathe was a ton of fun, really. And it's right after Kansas. I think that was our last day in Kansas. And there's really nothing else that we... There is stuff that we did in Kansas, but there's not a lot to see in Kansas. It's very flat. There's a whole lot of fields. So I think just getting through all of the, I guess, the mundane of Kansas and then getting to the end and seeing Olathe. And, you know, they've got waterfalls. And it's... I mean, it was... I think that was one of the best days that we had to just get into the end of Kansas. And now we could go into Illinois or not. Yeah, Illinois, I think. Missouri?
Nice.
Missouri.
Yeah. Kansas is very flat. My cousin, actually, who lived out there in high school, did a thesis that and Kansas is actually flatter than a pancake. So it's factually proven. Shout out Luke Dykes if you're listening. But, it's interesting because you're one of the few people we've had on the podcast that can compare and contrast the cyclist versus the PM role. And I know you've only done JOH from the lens of the PM, but talk about arrival specifically. What do you walk us through what arrival is like for the project manager?
So arrival for me, I mean, that was one of the craziest experiences I've ever had. There was a ton of joy that went into that. Cause I remember, you know, we get to stage up and I see all the cyclists that are coming out and they're hooting and hollering, they're so excited to be there. And I remember just like sitting there and I was like, wow, like this is incredible. You know, 67 days and we're done and this is the last one. I mean, just seeing everybody line up, and even though we were at the back of the line, because North Route raised more money, whatever. I think we're the better route. But seeing everybody line up and just being so excited and everybody's taking pictures, and I mean, it was kind of surreal. And then we were heading to the Capitol, and I remember we were in the car and I was leaning out the window looking at everybody taking pictures, and I remember I played like America the Beautiful or something and everybody was, you know, like laughing along, singing with it. And it was just incredible. And, you know, we get up there to the Capitol lawn and now it's time to like give speeches. And I was very nervous to give a speech because I don't think I've ever given a speech like that and front of that many people. I mean, there was I'd say like 200, 300 people there. It was awesome. And just getting there and giving a speech, and, you know, I was crying during my speech too. And, you know, it's kind of indescribable. There's so much that goes into it and there's so many emotions that are just overwhelming, you know, to just complete a trip like that. And everybody was safe. Nobody got hurt. Everybody was safe. We all had fun. Wow. I just, even thinking about that now, it's kind of leaving me speechless. So.
Yeah, it was a pretty impressive speech that you gave.
Yeah, they said to do like, they said to do 5 minutes, and I think I hit like right at the 4:50 mark. So that's what I was more concerned about.
Basil's in the corner, making the cut his neck.
Enough.
Symbol.
Enough
gesture,
already.
Yeah.
But it's easy to see after speeches like that and your effort as a PM, how leadership for you has kind of been an easy role for you to just manifest into and roll into. Because, I mean, you've gotten a lot of awards over the years through PICAP, and I'm not even sure what professional, you know, awards you've gotten outside of PICAP. But, you're very well put together. You're very well spoken for. And it's easy to see that, you know, all the guys looked up to you. I don't know if there was any real disagreement you had with anyone other than having to, you know, directly talk to someone, if even that.
Yeah.
But,
no, that was one of the coolest things that I think I saw at the end of the trip, was just kind of the, because every team is different, no matter what year you do it. Something that I always say is like, don't bring another team, like don't bring your past experience into this one. So every team is completely different, but I think it was super cool to see just how close my team had gotten at the end of it. And one of the things that I always did, like when we had team meetings every week, and I know they hated me because we had team meetings, because they were like, dude, it's an hour. We could be going to bed, or we could be doing something, going to see a movie. But I just remember, you know, getting there at the end and giving my speech and looking at all the guys, and they're all just crying and they're all hugging. And it was super cool to see, just kind of, I don't know, I always feel like I had some part in that, because I'm a very emotional person and I'll cry at pretty much anything. And it was cool to see, like, not a lot of guys were, everybody was crying and they were all open and very, like, just communicating. And I mean, it was awesome to see at the end of the trip just how close we had all gotten. And I always feel like I had a small part in that, but, you know, it's really cool. I don't know. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, you definitely had a big part in that. And I get it. It's like you have a huge sense of accomplishment, even just being on staff, you know, and with Zorth, traveling a few days with the team. You get home, and I've said this before, you're like, you sleep until 8, and, you know, the guys are already 15 miles down the road. So you have such a, yeah, you're a huge part of making that trip a reality for all those guys. And like you said, doing it safely as well. So looking forward to your next experiences, I know you've got Europe, Florida again, this upcoming year, and then you'll be rolling on the staff, the national staff as a leadership consultant. You know, now that you know, we've had like a 25-minute conversation with, and I can already tell you are a natural leader. And so I wouldn't necessarily ask the question to say, how have your experiences with the ability experience impacted your leadership capability, because I feel like you already had some. But what do you look forward to most as a leadership consultant? And what do you think, kind of what do you see with that position and beyond as far as your next steps and your next role within the fraternity?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that I'm excited for and also nervous for. It's my first quote unquote big boy job after graduation. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think the thing that I'm most looking forward to is getting to kind of start a new chapter and, like, kind of base it off of what I believe PICAP is, and, you know, come in and make everybody there at that school, like, really excited about it, just like I am. It's, you know, PICAP is such a super special thing, and it really brings everybody together, and it gives you all these opportunities. And it truly has shaped me into, you know, something that I didn't even think I was. When I was a freshman and I was rushing, I mean, PICAP has just changed everything, my ideas about stuff, and it's grown me into a leader. But I think I'm excited to, you know, start a new legacy of leaders at a different school. You know, the tagline is exceptional leaders, uncommon opportunities. And that's what I truly believe. I mean, there's so many opportunities that are going to come in no matter where you go. And everybody has the qualities. Everybody can be a leader if they wanted to. You just got to put in the extra work. So I'm excited to go and start a new legacy of leaders at a different chapter and, you know, see how that school kind of differs from mine. I think it'll be interesting because I come from more of a country school. We are called the Cow College in Mississippi. So I think it'll be interesting to take what I've learned at school and then go to somewhere completely different. I mean, it could be in, you know, California, it could be in Kentucky, it could be wherever. So I'm excited to, I mean, I guess travel too, but travel and start a new legacy of leaders wherever I go. I think that'll be pretty cool. And to have a part in starting a new chapter and seeing where that chapter goes, and, you know, it'll be, I'm just excited to shape some new people and see how they do.
Yeah, that's great. The chapters you work with are going to be much better off for having worked with you. I believe that.
Have you made the move over to Charlotte yet?
I have not. So I'm actually interested to see how that'll happen. Excuse me. Because I'm, you know, graduating in May. So I graduate and then I'll go right into Gear Up Florida. And then I'll go right into leadership consultant. So hopefully it all works out. If I need to move there earlier on, I'm sure I can. But yeah, I haven't even thought about that yet. I'm just trying to get through my final semester and see how that goes.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure, a lot of buildup before that last epicenter.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. I always like to stay busy. I never like to sit around and do nothing. That's one of the hard parts about being home right now, is and it being winter break, is, you know, there's not a lot to do but sit and watch TV. So I'm actually excited to, you know, jump from one thing into the next. I've always done that, and it's always paid off pretty well. Makes me think on my feet a little more. Just, you know, it'll be good. I'm not worried about it. It'll be good.
Don't say too much to Basil, because he's going to just put you to work while you're in Guff.
Don't I know it. Don't I know it.
And you get to relive all those friendship visits.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I was even thinking about. Because we had two guys on my Journey of Hope team who came straight from Guff, Anthony Betts and Dylan Kraft. So they did a super summer, and hats off to them, because I don't know if I could ever do a super summer. I do like to stay busy and on my feet, but I do also like some time at home to sleep in till at least 8 and not wake up at 5:36 every morning. But that's one of the things that was cool, and having that already previous experience with Guff and seeing their experience coming out of it, it kind of made it easier to connect and talk to them. And, you know, he was, Dylan was showing me his pictures, and he was like, "Hey, here's what we did for the Miracle League, excuse me." And I was like, "Oh, that's Wyatt." And they went to another thing, and I was like, "Oh, that's Brenda. I know all these people." Like, so it'll be cool to go back and see them, see how they've changed and see how they've grown. I mean, I think that'll be one of my favorite parts. I mean, I think I don't really care too much about the cycling. It's just something that I have to do. But the friendship visits are really just, they're incredible. Going there and seeing the excitement that they have. And, you know, whenever I did Guff the first time, I had Andre Armin on my team, which everybody knows Andre. I mean, I think he's a 7-time Pi Alpha now.
Yeah, 7. He almost made 8, but
he'll get there.
I'm sure he'll come back for another one.
He'll come back. He'll be back. Yeah.
But I remember
waiting for him to hear these, and then he'll text me and be like, "Hey, what did you say?" I was like, "Well, it would have been 8."
Yeah, I remember. But I remember talking to, or just watching Andre and how he interacts with people at friendship visits is awesome. But you know, he's been there a couple times, so it was cool to see him start that connection, to be like, "Hey, I remember you. We talked about this last time." And they're like, "Oh yeah, we did." So I'm excited to continue that and, you know, grow those relationships even more. So whenever I come back again at some point and do it again, I'm not done yet. Then I can, you know,
I got a bike Journey of Hope.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta get everything. I'm going to do North Route at some point. If they bring back South Route, I'll do that. And just get everything out of the way. But yeah, I'm excited to continue to grow those relationships and see how, you know, how they have grown, how I've grown, just how the new interaction will be. I'm excited to do that again.
And just as an asset to the team, you know, experience Pi Alpha, the wisdom and just, you know, the availability to be there for the team. Awesome resource.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I was thankful that I have a lot of experience during my Journey of Hope team, because a lot of the guys on my team didn't have too much experience with people with disabilities. So it was good that I have this camp experience, and I work with Special Olympics on campus, and I work with other organizations that serve people with disabilities on campus. So it was nice to come in and just have this experience and be able to, you know, work with them and see where they're at, and then kind of help them grow in working with people with disabilities so when they get back to their campuses, then they can just kind of continue on with that. So I'm excited to, you know, be able to do it myself, but then also to show other people, like, hey, it's, you know, it's pretty easy. You just got to get in there and make a joke. So, yeah.
Well, you're going to be great for it. So that's going to be exciting. And I hope that I can see this infamous, what is it, throw a frisbee with both of your hands? Because I don't think I saw that.
No, probably not. But yeah, over the summer, I play ultimate frisbee at my college. And so I was the captain last year. That's flex. But so I learned something.
I wouldn't have expected anything less.
But You know, there it's you're always versatile when you can do things with two hands. So I was throwing my left and then I'd throw with my right and just practice that all the time. And
oh, that's what it is. Okay. I thought you'd throw both. And I was like, I don't think I could see.
I mean, I could also do that. I could throw with both hands at the same time too. So.
But could you throw one disc at the same with both hands?
I could, yeah. Maybe not very good.
I was going to say, that sounds impossible. It'd almost be like a knuckleball, but
it would be. Yeah. It's kind of.
A little counterintuitive.
It's like, yeah, I've won.
Yeah.
I've won many games that way. Come on. Well, it's exciting to see all the things that you have lined up for us, and we're definitely going to be able to see you, and hopefully I'll be able to see you here and there.
Yeah.
But it's awesome to catch back up and see your future involvement. Yeah, it's going to be super exciting.
Yeah, I'm very excited for what's to come. Hopefully this time on Guff, I won't bug you with a million phone calls during it.
But, you have my phone number for anything and everything.
But yeah, I'm excited for what's to come. So.
Well, Austin, it was a pleasure having you on the podcast, and I can't wait to see you next summer. That'll be really cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Austin. I look forward to hopefully crossing paths when you come to Charlotte as well.
Oh, for sure. We'll be there.
Best of luck with the last semester. You'll be fine.
Thank you. I'll need it.
And thanks, everyone, for joining for this podcast. All right. Until next one. Bye-bye.